Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust you've been encouraged, strengthened, willing to press on as we think of God the Judge, one we are going to stand and face someday in life. And we studied into how he touched the affairs of Pharaoh. May it help us, call us to evaluate our lives and be ready for that day. The 10 years I've been, or close to 10 years I've been ordained, I just want to say, reach this milestone, or I don't know if you call it a milestone, but reach this day on the calendar, I want to just say thank you to everyone that has walked beside me as we went through that journey, and wish you the Lord's blessing, and may we continue to serve the Lord together. And I want to strive to continue to fill what the Lord has for me. However, when I've heard preachers say before, and I've had these feelings before sometimes, when you come down to your desk and you sit there and you say, what's the inspiration? Lord, what's the message? The Bible is so full of things, but you can feel like you preached everything. But I do have a message that came to me, and I feel it's the Lord's will to share this morning. Our song says, we have a song in our books, 832, that says, alone with God, when storms of life around me beating, when rough the path that I have trod, within my closet door retreating, I love to be alone with God. Do you love to be alone with God? We get busy schedules. And I ask you the question, maybe it's just this preacher that gets that way. But how often do you push time with God out? Part of this message is the fact that last Sunday Willie had a devotions on that medicine. We pull it out only when we need it. That came to my mind as I pondered this message. And so you ponder that. And then we went to instruction class last Sunday afternoon, and we talked about God's word and the need to study into it, and that's going to be the next lesson that when we go back to that again. And I just pondered in my own life, in my busy schedule, there's times when I can cut it short or maybe skip it altogether. And I think of that songwriter, alone with God. Are we only waiting till the storms of life would gather o'er me? When though I pass beneath the rod, God's perfect will there lies before me. When I am thus alone with God, are we waiting till the trials come, or are we following God all through life? God wants a relationship. God, in the Garden of Eden, God created man for a relationship. He wants that. Are we so busy that we don't take the necessary time? Do we sometimes treat God maybe like a little child? We're here, we're having our things we're doing, we're so focused on what we're doing. And a child comes and stands beside you and you ignore them. And pretty soon they may be pulling your arm. And then you still ignore them, and then they start calling you, Dad, Dad. And you can still ignore them. They have something that they want you to take notice of. Is God having to do that to us? What for circumstances need to come into my life and into your life for God to wake you up in the spiritual and turn to Him? What is it? We take time for what is most important to us. I do. I trust you do too. You can pretty much evaluate what's important to you by what you take time for. Is our time alone with God important to you? I want you to think about that. I simply titled the message this morning, Alone with God. And we're going to look at two aspects of that. And we're going to think about communication with God and two aspects with that. Alone with God. And you have a communication with God. And so you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be turning to a lot of passages this morning. Bear with me. Try to stay there. I'll try to give you time to get there to them. Or I may even pass out some scripture verses and let you read them for us this morning. We'll see once how that all goes here. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You catch the one thing that we're doing with a connection with God? And I want to use this and ponder this aspect a little bit. Give attendance to reading. We say that reading God's Word is God speaking to us. I heard in the Sunday school that God speaks through our brotherhood. Yes, He does. But His Word speaks to us. And as brethren are together and they know what the truth of Scripture is and they study the Word, God speaks. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. This was talking to a young man, Timothy, a man that had been called to the ministry. But it's for each and every one of us. Give attendance to reading. Ponder it. Verse 15 says, meditate on it. And we know in instruction class, we looked at that word meditate. And that's to think deeply about. Ponder it. Don't just read it for the mileage you get out of it, but ponder it. What's this? What's the truth for me? When you're alone with God especially. I want to think about Bible reading. I have 3 points that Bible reading is to us. And let's ponder them. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Do you catch it there? It is the food we need for growth. That's the first point I have. As we ponder Scripture and what it means to us, Bible reading, it is the food we need for growth. Our children, we've been blessed with children that you set them to the table and you put food in front of them and it disappears for the most part. I had a challenge on the other side of that in the last one, but let's not go there. But we were out visiting our friends one time and our children sat up and ate. And the comment was made, you know what a blessing that is? Had a child that was there pushing food around the plate. Didn't want to eat. Think about that in the spiritual sense. When you have so much food here, there is so much truth here. You see, Satan don't want to give us the appetite. He wants us to just maybe push a little bit around our plate. Maybe just a verse that we read in the morning and we go on with life. That's enough Bible reading. Just a little devotional meditation. That should be enough for the day. For food to do any good to you, you must eat it. You must digest it. It needs to go to your bloodstream before it to do any good. When you think spiritually, You take this word, and if you can just, you could just read it in a little passage, but if you have not taken the time to use it for the growth that it is, if you haven't meditated on it, onto something to change your life, you haven't grown. You haven't grown. We must continue to eat. Yes, it doesn't mean that we stop the eating. But my challenge to us is, have we left the food of God's word go for growth? Bible reading. Dig into it. Meditate on it. It's the food we needed for growth. What's the second point I have here under Bible reading? It is what is needed to make us strong. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You see that there? You want to build your life, if you want to get strong for God, there you go. The word of God, it builds us. As we meditate on it, our lives are changed and we are sanctified and we're brought in close fellowship with God and with his brotherhood. Because we're strong. We've applied God's word to our lives through the reading of scripture. The third one I have, as we ponder this Bible reading, points us to Jesus. Bible reading points us to Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? Well, he's the one that saved us from our sins. He's the one that the Old Testament, as we read the Old Testament, it's pointing forward to Jesus. New Testament tells us of Jesus. And who he was, so that we can know him today. But you're not going to get it if you don't read scripture. John 5, 39. We're right close there. John chapter 5. John 5, 39. Jesus says this. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It's Jesus' words. He's talking to the religious of that time, and he's telling them, if you look in scripture, you'll find me, Jesus. That's what he's saying. Because the religious leaders of that day, the Jews, did not realize or didn't grasp that. Well, today, scriptures do the same to us. When we read scripture, when we have our devotional life, we hear God talking to us, and it points us to Jesus. And it helps to keep us pointed to Jesus. It helps us align our focus in life of where we're going. Search the scriptures. Well, we say, reading scripture is God's way of talking to us. Main part of the message, though, I want to ponder the other side of it, and that is us talking to God. I don't know how you find it in life. In my life, I find it that if I don't take time to meditate and study in God's word, there's another aspect that often goes out, and that is prayer. I don't take the time for prayer either. Oh yeah, I'll breathe a word of prayer through the day. I'll have prayer before a meal. But it's more than that. When we get serious about our Christian life, when we get serious about walking and living for God, and having a relationship with God, we listen to him talk to us, and in turn we talk to Him. That's prayer. And so there's some, as we ponder prayer, I believe it's one of the things that is so easy for us to brush over. And yeah, it's easy to say we're having prayer, but are we serious about it? Have we taken the time that it takes to get into unhindered prayer life? And so we come into, I have some hindrances to prayer. And the first one's practical for us. That is time. First point I have, hindrances to prayer. When you think about prayer, when we spend in time alone with God and we have in our prayer life, is to take enough time to do it. But there's also some things in our own life that we have to deal with, and they can be hindrances to prayer. And so we're going to look at some of these. I'm going to hand out some verses. James 4, verse 3. If somebody wants to just say that, and then when I ask for it, they can read it. James 4, 3. Okay, thank you, Jerry. And Proverbs 21, 13. Right, thank you. Mark 11, 25.
11:25.
Thank you, Tim. Let's have you get verse 26 as well. 25 and 26. 1 Peter 3, 7. All right, thank you. And Psalm 66, 18. Thank you. All right, as I ponder this second point of what is hindrances to prayer life, I start thinking about what the scripture says here. And let's read that James 4, 3.
Ask, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your life.
All right, thank you. What do I see here? What's a hindrances to in our prayer life? And that is selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, and it's God doesn't listen to that. It's about God. You think about in Luke 18, verse 9, I didn't hand those verses out, but we know that account very well. It's the Pharisee and the publican. They both went to the temple to pray. And what did the Pharisee do? He stood up and said, prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You see, I fast twice a week. I do it right. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm in the right standing. It's selfishness. It's about me. It's pride as well. And that falls right into selfishness. Pride and selfishness, you can't hardly separate them. But we know that account there. What happened? The publican was standing over there and he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. Why? Because his prayers weren't hindered. His prayers reached right into his heart and shared where he was, and right, really where he was in his relationship with the Lord. What is the second one? Let's go to Proverbs. Or a third point I have lack of care for others. Let's read Proverbs 21, verse 13.
Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard.
Did you see that? The lack of care for others. There's poor man crying. And all of a sudden, this man needs to call out to God because God brought a circumstance in his life. But he has not listened to that poor man over there. God said, I'm not going to hear you either. Hindrances. Let's go on to the third one. Mark 11, 25 and 26.
And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
I have titled this in Unforgiveness and Bitterness. someone has done us wrong. We start harboring it within us. I can't let it go. But we still want to say we have a relationship with the Lord. But we don't forgive our brothers and sisters. Verse 26 of that says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. And so we must. It's a hindrance to prayer. We must forgive those about us. The fifth one. 1 Peter 3, 7. Strained marriage relationships. Husbands, what's your love like for your wife? You dwelling with them according to knowledge? Are you giving your wife rightful place? Is the headship order in line? Prayers are hindered if you aren't. Let's go to the last one. Psalm 66, 18. All right, the sixth one is iniquity. If I harbor sin in my life and somehow think that I can come to God and offer a prayer, He won't hear you except for one prayer. And that is the prayer that says, I'm sorry for my sin. That's the prayer that God hears. But if you want to come with the sin in your life and try to pray to God, He doesn't hear you. The psalmist goes on in verse 19. I didn't hand that out. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. That tells me that David had a right relationship with the Lord and a right standing. I'm going to go through the next part, the point here, as we think about prayer. I want to look at some different ways of prayer. And I'm going to go fairly quick through these three points. You know, Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. There we have united prayer. There's people gathered together and in their spirit of prayer, and they're praying. They're all together there. And as you know that account there, that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. I don't know where they were, how they were, but I believe they were in such a spirit of prayer as they were there that they might have been walking around. We think that they may be praying or kneeling. I don't know. But we know the Holy Spirit came out in cloven tongues and landed on them. And I can envision that maybe they were standing for it. We also have the second point that I have is different ways of prayer, private prayer. And Acts 10 verse 9, we have Peter there. And he gives us an example. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. And here's what Peter did. It's the middle of the day, maybe. I don't know. Peter went onto the housetop to pray at the sixth hour. I didn't read when sixth hour was. But it was a time of prayer. A private prayer of Peter. And so the second one is private prayer. And that is what we do in our personal devotional life. Is that private prayer life. And as we go through the day, are you in a spirit of prayer? Is your connection with the Lord open? The third way I have is public prayer. And we have that in Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And so the ninth hour, they were there together. They're going to the temple, a collected body gathered together for prayer. The Holy Spirit is at work in our prayers. And so as we ponder prayer again, next point I have is the Holy Spirit at work. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So you're in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says this, Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As I was pondering this message to share, that verse stood out to me. The Holy Spirit is actually there in our lives. And when we're praying in a spirit of prayer, He's there praying with us. And maybe we verbalize it, but the Holy Spirit understands our groanings and He does His own groanings. I'd like to go into the power of prayer, another point of on prayer. You can turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. Bible readers know what this account is. But we're going to read this. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Keep reading there, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. We know this is the account, the passage where we go when we think of the ordinance of anointing with oil. But I want to ponder, as we think of the power of prayer, what we need to do in our personal devotions, this is a collective time of prayer when elders of the church come together and they pray over them. But I want to look at this. As I think of the power of prayer, the first point I have under this power of prayer is prayer will save. Prayer, it will save. Maybe not always result in physical healing. But it will heal you. Mentally and spiritually. If you ever have a question about this, I want to bring out a point as I pondered this. We say, well, does it mean that the elders didn't have enough faith if there's no healing? Think about with me on the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is talking about a thorn in his flesh. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed for this infirmity to pass 3 times. Did it go away from him? But there's something else that happened to him. Verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7 said about the messenger of Satan to buffet me, that thorn in the flesh. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Maybe his prayer wasn't good enough. I don't believe so. This is Paul. And he said unto me, talking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of prayer gives to others the rest that God is doing a work in your life. The power does not come from those who pray. The second is a ponder of the power of prayer. The second thought is, the power does not come from those who pray. In these verses we see the Lord will raise him up. The Lord does the restoring. The Lord does the healing. Whether it's physically or some other way, mentally or spiritually. The Lord does the restoring. It's not men. What else comes with this? Is the power of prayer. As I ponder these verses, the forgiveness of sins. We have, as we ponder that, who can forgive sins? Well, it's only God. It's only Jesus. And so the Lord forgives sins, and there's power in that. When you have your sins forgiven, do you remember the peace that comes in your life? Do you remember back to your conversion experience? The Lord forgives sins. There's power in that. Now you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, we know this account, this is Peter. He'd been in prison, shackled there, and miraculously he's delivered from the prison and followed that angel right out of prison. And in verse 12, and when he had considered the thing that happened to him, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They're there in the spirit of prayer. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And we go on and read how they all thought that she must be dreaming. This surely can't be. He was in prison. Catch the power of prayer? Peter was delivered from prison in a miraculous manner. God help us as we think about prayer in our own lives, that we may realize the power that is in prayer. We don't know how many times we get delivered in miraculous manners. But I believe it is, and there's power in the prayer. God wants us in our relationship with Him to come to Him in prayer. The last point I have is, what should we pray for? What should we pray? Let me hand out some verses for the last point here again. Matthew 5:44. Matthew 9:38. Luke 22:40. Romans 10:1. James 1:5. And James 5:16. All right, thank you for taking them. What should we pray for? When you kneel for prayer, what are you going to pray for? Are we needy people? Well, we sure are. I trust that you never run out of a list of things to pray for. I challenge you, sometime take the list of your brothers and sisters in the church and go down through and pray for them individually. But let's look what the scripture says. What should we pray for? Matthew 5:44. Let's read that.
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and
Enemies, those that despitefully use us, those that treat us wrongly, those that have taken advantage of us. Put them on your prayer list. They need it. Let's go to the second one. Matthew 9, 38. I hesitated to put this in because sometimes as preachers we feel like maybe we're, if we share something like this, we feel like we're begging for prayer. But I'm going to say it. Thank you for your prayers because we need it. Yes, we do. But there's also a big harvest out there. Your brother sitting on the bench beside you that has not gone through an ordination is still called to go share the word, and he needs your prayers. The harvest is great, and the labors are few. Pray for labors in the harvest, and be one yourself. Let's go to the third one. Luke 22, verse 40. We all have temptation, right? Yeah. What a way to start out a morning. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. I've titled this in that we can overcome temptation. We're going to face it in life. There's going to be a temptation. But pray that we can overcome it and that we don't enter into it and sin. Let's go to the next one. Romans 10, 1. All right, thank you. The unsaved. We touched a little bit on this. But this verse brings out very clearly for the unsaved. This is talking about Israel, and I know there's different thoughts on this verse. But I think about it in the church and those that keep coming and being brushed with those as we go out and touch people's lives and they come in contact with us. They're the unsaved. They need Jesus. What's your desire? Is to call them in. Prayer to God for those out there, for the lost, is that they might be saved. Let's go to the next one. James 1, 5. I ask you, have you asked for wisdom this week? Maybe you never lacked wisdom. We need wisdom as we go through life. We need wisdom as parents. You need wisdom as youth. I haven't reached the older age yet, but I'm sure you need wisdom then too. If we lack wisdom, ask God in prayer and He'll give it to you. Let's go on. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, and you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of an unrighteous man availeth much. That's back in our account there in James 5, the anointing with oil passage. But I want to think about a little more on this as we ponder what we should pray for. Pray for one another. But I see in this verse, remember we talked about earlier that there's some hindrances to prayer life? One of them is iniquity, sin in our life. This verse talks about something about that. We must pray for one another that we may be healed. But it also says confess your faults. And I think that's one of the areas where we struggle with, or I've struggled with it in my own life. You see, I can confess my faults to God in prayer. But when I confess my faults to one another, that's where What are they going to think about me? I challenge you. You need to pray for one another, but you also need to pray for an openness and a brotherhood that you're willing to share as brothers in one another. You touched on the other one this morning already in Nelson's announcements. There's one more. I would like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The last one I have is what we should pray for. But we're going to look at that. And I thought about this as we come to this, what's happening this week, and that is the election time. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's all read these together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Thank you. Have you prayed this week? I know we did this morning. But have you made it a matter of prayer this week? For the elections. For kings and that for all that are in authority. It's going to change. But are you praying for them? Not just for them, but it says here in verse 1, for all men. All in authority. Think about the Black Lives Matter. Do we get involved in the riots that go with it? No. We pray for all men. All men are equal. All men have a soul. All men. It don't matter who it is. What about the ones that made the laws over COVID-11? Have you prayed for them? We say, well, that was so ridiculous. It was overrated. And I'm not here to dispute that. But have you prayed for those that were had to make the decisions over that time? It says for all men, for kings and all in authority. May God help us to be faithful in doing that. And especially as it in focus this week again. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Loving everyone. Living a life of godliness and honesty. A few closing thoughts. I'm going to make it personal. How is my communication with the Lord? Now I'd like to make it personal to you. How is your communication with the Lord? Is it one-sided? Are you one that daily activities has gotten so heavy, and the Lord's trying to get your attention, and you're just, I've got things to do. Is it a normal daily activity, or is it just something we do only when life gets out of our control? Relationships. What is your relationship? Relationships die if there's not time and effort invested. And the same is true for your relationship with the Lord. If you don't invest the time and the energy it takes, your relationship with the Lord is going to suffer. My closing thought to you is Luke 11, verse 1. The disciples asked Jesus as they watched Jesus pray. And he had been in prayer. And I believe they had seen it. They said to him, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, when he was all done, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. May God help us to be leaning on him through the trials and tests of life, to be victorious. Let it not be just one where God has to work to get our attention, but we're willingly going to him and having a communication and relationship with him in our Bible reading and in our prayer life. Let's kneel for prayer.